Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to a pre-July 4th edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host, the most Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Solochi. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hey. So, yeah, it's July 4th weekend, which means that everyone is either getting drunk in the process of drinking, having a hangover, or just trying to bury their heads in the sand so they don't have to hear the fireworks. So, as you can imagine, it's kind of a small crowd this week, but definitely not for a lack of material because, yeah, a bunch of shit went down this week, as it usually does, but every so often we get just a nice potpourri of bullshit that comes about on our table, and this is definitely one of those weeks. A very notorious and infamous sex offender managed to get out of prison on a technicality. A guy who works for Exxon basically admits on camera how much they've been trying to screw us over and trying to undermine anything we can do about climate change. A warmonger is dead. SCOTUS made a couple more decisions, one good and one bad, which seems to be the pattern recently. And a condo basically collapsed instantly over at Surfside in Miami. And yeah, it was Surfside in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the whole story of that is just an old, like, it's just an avalanche of bullshit. And then, of course, you don't need that to also tell us that we're currently living in the middle of climate change. Yes, that's right, Cody. I agree. It's bullshit. But yeah, apparently Cthulhu is slowly clawing his way out of the Gulf of Mexico as we speak. Or at least that's what it looks like after an oil leak under the Gulf of Mexico actually caught fire. Seriously. There is a heat dome over the Pacific Northwest that is slowly cooking everybody in its path. And, and Disney Plus is getting a collection of Star Wars anime shorts. So that's nice. Guess that'll equal all the bullshit. But, yeah. Anyway, so. But that's all we got, and just a bunch of other shit we're going to have that's going down this week on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, start us off as we always have. Chris, let us know what you've been doing this weekend.
So this week, the big thing has been kind of dealing with some back pain.
Oh, Lord. What?
I hurt my back on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
at work. Went home a little bit early. After filling out all the bullshit in the incident report.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff is just full of bureaucracy shit. Basically spent the next 3 days just kind of having a nice ice pack on my back as much as I could.
Mm.
Luckily went back to work today and felt a lot better.
Yeah.
Still a little bit sore, but nothing I can't handle, but it was nice to have the time off so that I could actually heal instead of just like constantly going back to work and making it worse and worse.
Mm.
So luckily that's mostly done with.
All right.
And dealing with just some more bullshit that is going on. Doing some apartment hunting. Put in an application for a place. Didn't really get a reply for it or anything. And figured out that maybe the issue is that somehow there's like a second profile on my account there.
Oh.
So like it's not one they can see or whatever. I don't know. So I ended up filling out a second one. And paying the $35 for each one, so I have to get back with them, tell them to give me a refund on the one they're not actually going to check.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's super fun to fill out these kind of forms.
Mm.
It's my favorite kind of fun. dealing with that kind of bullshit. So that's been the other thing, trying to see if I could get a new place to move into. This one's not too bad if I can get it, but we'll see. As for other things, I've been watching, watched the new episode of Loki that happened this week, which is the episode of the season where things are put into a new perspective of sorts, where it kind of resets things and sort of puts it into a new level of weird. That is pretty exciting. So that'll be interesting to see how the last couple episodes here play out. But other than that, it's been more just playing stuff throughout the week. Putting some more time into Rocket League. Enjoying that, though some of these weekly challenges have been a bit tough. Particularly the one that I'm working on right now, which is to get a certain kind of goal in the hoop mode. Which is a bit tougher than I would like. So I'm just continually playing it. Winning most of the time, but still playing it. Trying to see if I can get this specific type of goal to happen. If not, it's fine. Making progress on my other missions for the week, so that's just going on. And I picked up a couple of things from the Steam sale. Another round of things. I got the Titanfall pack as Titanfall 2 and the original Titanfall. So I was like, I like to play these on PC and see how that goes. Haven't played them yet because they're like the bigger downloads. I picked up Steven's Sausage Roll, which is a game that got a lot of praise a couple years ago by like all the best people that make puzzle games. Jonathan Blow and all these other people talking about how this is like the secret best puzzle game out there. Where you're just a dude named Steven, you're pushing a sausage roll around. It's that kind of puzzle game where you're having to deal with changing its orientation and all that to get it around these tricky puzzles, that kind of stuff. So that's it's like on sale for $6 on Steam, so it's a pretty good price. Let's see. I also got Beat Hazard 2. Which is the follow-up to the original Beat Hazard. Not really a huge change in sort of how it works. For those who don't know, Beat Hazard is kind of a dual-stick shooter that is based around your music. On PC, you just point it to your music folder. It's, you know, pulls in all the music there. This time around, it also has the ability to use Spotify. Which it does it through a weird process where it essentially goes into open mic mode. You can sort of pull in audio that's playing on your desktop. Similar to the way that I do, you know, streams, that kind of stuff. But it'll have like daily challenges and stuff, or it just pulls up a window of Spotify to play a song. And it pulls up like the sample. A song, like a 30-second chunk. I'll just play that over and over again for like 2 minutes, which is kind of weird. But it'll create challenges out of that kind of stuff. If you can sign in, you can just pick any song that's on Spotify. Because I think the one big change they did make is that there are different ships. And they're kind of Diablo style in terms of them having different stats and bonuses and all that kind of stuff. That affects like their health, and I had one of the first early ones I got to drop was basically it pulls in all the power-ups that drop. It doesn't necessarily make it easy because they're just pulling it towards you and you're constantly moving around and with, you know, shit going on, so you might not get them if you're moving out of the way, that kind of stuff. But for each of the ships, there's 4 of these like challenges attached to them that I think improves the stats or something like that for it. It'll be like, oh, find a song that has the word best in its title. And I think it counts the band and the album name as well for it. So if you click on it, it'll show you like all the ones that you have in your music folder for that. Or you can just go on, you know, Spotify and just search best and pull up stuff there. And like some challenges like, oh, just complete this on this difficulty and maybe with these modifiers. Others might be, you know, you need to get a score of this high, 5 million, 10 million points, whatever. And as you like level up overall with your account level, you can unlock perks. And a lot of them, the ones I've been unlocking have been multiplier based, sort of improve that ability. But some of the, with each of the songs, it pulls down other people's stats. You can see a leaderboard. And as you're playing, it'll show you on the side of the screen, like how are you doing compared to other people. And there's some people that seem to have some probably high powered ships and like all the perks and all that.
Yeah.
Too. They just shoot up their score real fast. It's like, oh, I'm never going to get close to that for this, but doing pretty decently as far as the score stuff. But that's been what I've been putting in here to play for, you know, 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Mm.
So that's pretty nice. The other one I've been playing is Power Wash Simulator. Which is, as you can guess, a game about using a power washer, where you are essentially starting your own business. I forget what the business calls. It's like your first gig is you wash your own truck. Which some of this stuff doesn't make any sense. It's like, why would you power wash a truck, like a van? It's like, just take it to a, you know, car washer, you know, wash it like a normal person. I think there's even some later gigs. It's like a fancy like Rolls Royce type of car. It's like you can sit there. It's like you would not use a power wash on this thing, a super expensive car, because you would just dent it and bust the cloth roof, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But it's fun nevertheless. I think one of the special missions they have in there is you go, you're on Mars and you're washing the rover. I don't know where you're getting this water on Mars, but and it's also not super realistic in terms of you have to worry about water supply or anything like that. As you're washing stuff, you know, it doesn't drip down and clean, you know, lower parts of whatever you're doing. There's nothing like that. You're just purely spraying, and the part you're spraying is what is getting washed. That kind of thing. You can, as you earn money, you can, you know, buy better nozzles, better washers, that kind of stuff. So you have like a basic, you know, spray that's just a pure stream, and you get some that are wider nozzles, and you can hit the R button on the keyboard to switch it from like a horizontal to a vertical spray, that kind of stuff. You can also get soap for that, so you can, which has soap for, you know, mud or, you know, different kinds of materials or whatever you're trying to clean. That can do it a lot faster, but you're also paying money out of your pocket to use that stuff. So far, early on, I've just been using water because I'm trying to save the money for the other stuff. But yeah, as you go, you can see like a little meter showing you like how clean, you know, these different parts of the gig is. So, like the first one was a truck. The second one was like this backyard. Sort of how silly it all is that the house is perfect, but the backyard of this rich house is ridiculous. Ridiculously dirty. Has like a little like rock pond thing that, you know, has a little waterfall into another pond. And it's like, you get texts as you're going. It's the guy that I guess is he's sitting in his house just watching this one person just frantically cleaning out this thing like an anal idiot. There's a lot of like ridiculous parts of it. It's like, if you're actually doing this job, you would have a team of people go through this. You could get through it more quickly. And I assume that we're using the water source from the house, because, you know, otherwise if you're doing all this washing, you know, the One, the yard is going to be a fucking muddy mess by the end. Yep. You can just go traipsing through their flowers, all that kind of stuff. It's just ridiculous, but it's one of those kind of satisfying chill games. You just go through and just clean how you want. You can sit there and just draw dicks in the dirt if you want, in the grime. You'll eventually clean it off anyway. it's... And they've made it easier since launch, because I think at launch you had to pretty much get every single speck of dirt, and sometimes it'd be tough to find it. Like, you hit tab to show it, but you know, on like vehicles, it might be like a lower part of the tire that's harder to see, or like right under the under the side of the car. You don't really have to clean the underside of the car, but you know, there might be like corners of the bumpers, like little grime in there. And they've relaxed that a bit, so you can get to like 85-90%, and then it completes, which with me being so kind of anal about cleaning this stuff up, I get to like the last like section, and I do a little bit, and it gives you a nice satisfying ding when it's done, but it cleans up the rest automatically for you. So I was like, oh, this is a lot easier. I didn't necessarily have to be this detail oriented, but it helps. It's a pretty nice, well done game. It's still in early access, so they're continuing to add stuff. I assume they'll add the anal mode back in at some point as like a harder mode, but for the time being, it seems pretty good. This is it's the new game from Future Lab. Made Velocity, those games, the shmups where you kind of had to warp around the stage, that kind of stuff, if you know that game.
Yeah.
Velocity 2X, which had like side-scrolling action modes in there, that kind of stuff. And this seems like their big hit.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool to see. And that's been fun. And also I've been playing some more Ghost of Tsushima, because the director's cut got announced. We'll talk about that on Day Zero next week. We're not going to be doing a show this weekend, because it'll be a little bit on the 4th, so we're not going to...
We're all going to be in different places, so it's not going to work.
I'm not going to require people to stop celebrating or hang out with family or whatever. So, I've been playing more of that. I'm working towards getting to the second part of the game, because that's where the new island is going to be starting at, if you're starting from a fresh save, is you have to get to Act 2, which is like the second part of the island that they unlock. Mm-hmm. Like, it's three parts, right?
Yeah.
That unlocks it Act 3 and so, or Act 2. So I was like, well, I'm going to go back and put some more time into this. And I still haven't even done a ton on the island itself, like all the secret areas and such. Mm-hmm. But I do still like the way that they keep a lot of that stuff as things that you'll run into people like, oh, you save somebody from, you know, some... bandits that are attacking them, like, oh, there's, we just came from this area, I think there's still, you know, bandits or, you know, that took over this town, that just puts a new thing on your map, like, well, I'll go check that out, kind of thing. But I'm working my way through Masako's story, who unfortunately comes out of the big battle with all of her family being killed. Whether in the big battle or the rest by bandits and such, she's trying to figure that out. It was fun having one of the missions being set like in this area where I've not been in, so it was like a completely uncharted area, just kind of traipsing through, trying to see what... Hope nothing too bad happens, but still been enjoying that a lot. I did get the grappling hook. So that's, I ran to the area where you actually start using it beforehand. I was like, there's no way for me to get across here. I'm guessing this is where that's going to be.
Ended
up being right. We go up in this top area that's convenient. It has lots of branches that are in the middle of these big gaps. So that's been pretty much what I've been doing. How about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I'm still playing lots of Genshin Impact. I have gotten into Liyue, which is the Chinese part of the universe, like, very, so much so. Like, everything, the music, the architecture, the clothing, the food, the overall, like, landscape. It's 100% supposed to be, like, a fantasy version of China. And not knocking it, because it looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, a lot of the other places in the game. Basically, the story hasn't really taken me there yet. It's just I'm at that point where I need to get to adventure level 18 so I can continue the main story. So I'm basically up and around trying to find new places and new statues of the seven and stuff so that I can get that rank up. I also acquired a couple of new characters for my party using the wish system, which for those who don't know what the wish system is the gacha part of the game.
It lets you convert other currencies into the one that's used just for the drops.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I actually got a couple of really good, like, high-powered characters.
Who'd you get?
Shit, I can't remember the names, dude.
Well, what elements and, like,
okay, water element swordsman.
Okay, he's like a smaller dude?
Young boy looking,
I think I have him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and the other is the maid dressed up in armor who has the earth element.
I have that one.
The earth element, do you have any characters that use the earth element?
I'm trying to think what that is.
Well, in my experience, it's sort of used to, like, fortify your strengths, or, like, it'll, like, give you, like, a temporary strength increase, or at least that's the character that it does for her. And
yeah, I don't think I have any of those.
I will say the water one is very useful, especially compared to, like, what you end up getting when you first start the game, because you're only three, like, party members. You got one who does fire, you know, which is fine, but the only way
that's an archer.
Yeah, is with Archer.
Amber is her name.
Yeah, you have Amber. Then you have Lisa, who can be useful if, you know, you're using, like,
you can use your water guy with her.
Yeah.
Get him wet, and then she can shock him.
Yeah, and you can get a bunch of them, get good mass attack. But otherwise, if you don't have that, she's not necessarily useless, but her use is very niche. And then probably the one dude I got the most use out of over all the other ones was the other guy. The
ice dude?
Yeah.
Kaya?
Yeah, Kaya. Who does freezing.
Awesome.
Mostly because that freezing attack is so strong on its own.
Yeah, you can pair him with your water dude.
Yeah.
Get him wet, and then he can freeze him, and he does good damage.
Yep. I will say, though, I mean, again, the game, you know, its gaming cycle is still very good. It's, like, it's definitely... Like, you can definitely sense, like, a pattern in it to a certain extent, but it's a good pattern. It works really well. And I will say, if I have one issue, it's that, and it was kind of arbitrary at first, I noticed, but it gets kind of, it gets easier to navigate. Those weird, like, force barriers that, like, keep you out of certain parts of the overworld until you get further along in the game. Like, if you try to go to a certain section of it, and you just basically run into, like, an invisible wall that hurts you. That's kind of annoying, but I kind of learned to navigate it after a while. The other, and I'll definitely say really did not like, is the Frozen Mountain. That whole area is just... not fun, because you're constantly having to deal with the freezing. You know, you're on a mountain, it's constantly snowing, there's ice everywhere, so you have to deal with the cold. And the thing with the cold is you can only deal with it for a certain amount of time before it actually starts affecting your actual health. And the way that you can, you know, circumvent it is, of course, you know, getting up to, like, torches or, you know, bonfires or something to warm back up. It's actually, in hindsight, very... very sort of kind of, well, not very, but kind of similar to how Breath of the Wild treated it when you went up into the mountains. Well, I mean, not to the mountains that were like all cold and stuff, but it was but the thing was there is that what solved that was that you would get like really warm woolly clothing that you could wear to sort of fight off the cold. You don't really get to do that here. So you basically have to deal with, you know, having to constantly go from, like, one area to the next without freezing to death. And it's annoying, to be frank. But other than that, I mean, you know, game's still really good. I also started playing No Man's Sky a bit again. Just to show how the procedurally generated stuff can really screw you over if you're not careful. If there's a planet that you're on and it's fixing to have like a really strong lightning or electrical storm that's about to hit, don't bother. Just go to another planet, because if you try to go to that planet and you get hit by lightning and then you come back and then you try to pick up your other stuff, you know, to get all your stuff back from your previous life, you're probably not going to make it. So you're basically going to start again with nothing. Because that's what happened to me. Yeah. That was annoying. But other than that, it's still good shit. still a lot of fun. But other than that, I've been doing this thing on YouTube where... Okay, quick question, Chris. Have you ever heard of Dingo Pictures?
No.
Okay. So this is one of those things, like, unless you lived in, like, a... because I've talked to people who, when they were kids, they came across these movies. Because they live in, like, a... like, I'm trying to remember, what's, like, the number for, like, a region that's, like, in the European or Canadian sort of area? Like, region 2 or region 3?
DVDs, I think it's 2.
Yeah.
I think we're number 1 here in the Americas.
Yeah, if you grew up in like a region 2 type country, you probably came across a bunch of these at one time or another. So Dingo Pictures were a German company, and they were one of those bunches of companies that came out like in the late 80s, early 90s, around the time of the Disney Renaissance, that started putting out cash-in cartoons, where they would like try and like crap out like an animated straight-to-video version of whatever Disney movie, whatever like public domain story that Disney was going to be putting out that year. So, you know, Aladdin, Pocahontas, you know, The Lion King, stuff like that. You know, you had companies, you know, like Jet Lab and Good Times who did this back in the day. Bevan Field was another. Dingo was a German company that was known for just putting out these really, really, really bad animated movies. And you could barely call them animated because, sure, there was movement in them, but it was almost like, let me put it this way. Before they started putting out, like, actual animated movies, they put out, like, video storybooks where it would be like, you know, it's like there was, like, a static image and the camera would go in and out on certain parts like that. Then they started making, like, these really terrible animated adaptations that looked like they made them on Windows Paint, and that's honestly being kind of generous. There were character designs that they lifted wholesale from certain movies. They reused a lot of assets. Probably the one that's most infamous for most people that know is a movie called Animal Soccer World, which was basically like a crossover movie where they got like all the animal characters from all their past movies and had them do like a soccer match with each other. It's notorious for having, on top of bad animation, it also has really, really bad voice acting as well. And basically any Dingo movie you come across, you're either going to get two kinds of dubs. You're either going to get the in-house Dingo dub where you got a bunch of German voice actors who have a sort of halting, but it's at least somewhat competent understanding of the English language. And then you have what's known as the East-West dubs, which are basically done by like this old Dutch guy and his son. And it's all done in one take. They never like do any editing. You can hear like the papers from the script rustling in the background. They'll say lines twice, like in the expectations that they're going to go back and edit. You'll hear them like accidentally read like, you know, cues from the script, like, you know, exit scene or, you know, characters doing so-and-so, stuff like that. It's hilarious. And the syncing is terrible because there's whole points where, like, they accidentally mute their mics, so you basically hear nothing for, like, extended periods of time. Honestly, if you love watching bad movies, go on YouTube and look up Dingo Pictures and their movies. You will have an absolute hell of a time because they're just so bad, and it's so much fun watching just how bad they can lower the bar. There's a point where in their Pocahontas adaptation, they were doing like a shitty like DVD, VHS to DVD transfer by literally like having a camera focusing on like a TV screen. And because of that, there's actually one scene where you can actually see a bug crawling across the screen. Like, it's amazing. Just look them up. It's a lot of fun. And other than that, just kind of dealing with the slow heat death of the universe, a.k.a. summer. which, to be fair, we've had some rain over the last couple of days, so it hasn't been as hot lately. It's been more in like the 80s instead of the 90s, which, believe me, it doesn't sound like much of an improvement, but when it's been like 91 to whatever for like days on end, you can definitely feel the difference.
Yeah, today was pretty nice, like in the 70s here.
Yeah, I wish like, we had.
Thank God it's not 90 plus.
Yeah.
Like it was Tuesday, I think, where it was 90 for most of the day, and then and the feels like was like, oh, feels like 102. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Then had people be like, oh, I feel so bad you're wearing a mask. I was like, the mask is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was 70 degrees, the mask is not an issue.
No.
The fact that it's 90 plus.
Mm-hmm.
I hear.
Yeah. All right. So, that's it for that. So you got anything you want to add before we move on?
No.
All right. Well, then it's everybody's time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And since, you know, July 4th is this weekend, I thought I'd come up with a little bit of a, shall we say, trivia on patriotic nonsense. So, Chris, you know what the American national anthem is, of course, right?
Yeah.
It is the Star-Spangled Banner. It's based on a poem written by Francis Scott Key, who was at the Battle of, I can't remember what, off the top of my head. But, it was written to a tune, and then it became our national anthem. Do you know what year it was that it became our national anthem? No cheating.
Probably early 1800s.
Nope. It became our national anthem in 1931.
Okay.
We did not have a national anthem until 1931, believe it or not. Even after the American Revolution and the Civil War and all that, we never had a national anthem. Hell, France had a national anthem before we did. Can you believe it?
Well, that's France.
I mean, yeah, it's France, but
they're very...
should happen very soon after ours.
Yeah.
But so you're probably wondering, okay, how did we go so long without a national anthem? Why did it become a national anthem at that particular point? And who was it that made it happen? Well, okay, so for most of America's history, like I said, we did not have a national anthem. We did have a couple of different songs that were kind of unofficially anthem. We had Hail Columbia, which is a song that they were singing during the Civil War. We famously also have the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is based on John Brown's body. That's also a fairly common song. We also had Hail to the Chief, which, of course, is the song that's used to accompany the president. But as for the actual national anthem, the reason it happened is, weirdly enough, from probably the weirdest source you could think of. You ever heard of a guy named Robert Ripley?
No.
Well, you're definitely familiar with his handiwork. See, back in the early 20th century, he became a cartoonist and a trivia compiler, and he famously became famous for a cartoon feature that was syndicated in numerous newspapers called Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Okay, that guy?
Yeah, it's this guy. And Robert Ripley actually became famous because he was the first person to publicly challenge the claims of Charles Lindbergh. Now, Lindbergh is famous for being the first man to effectively circumnavigate the Earth in a airplane, which made him like a national hero. And of course, it was, you know, Robert Ripley is like, yeah, I'm calling bullshit on you. And as you can imagine, it was the early 20th century. He got inundated with a bunch of angry letters, and it just made his little cartoon feature even more popular. And he basically trolled America into making him a nationally syndicated superstar. And one of the things he would do, you know, like in his various cartoons, he would bring up trivia like, and for the record, a lot of the stuff he talks about in a lot of these old cartoons aren't true, or were later proven to not be true. They were stuff that was like, you know, just considered to be like common knowledge. Like, for example, there was the story about how Beethoven was paid for going on walks because he was supposedly... he composed a lot of his greatest music when he was out walking the countryside. That's not true. But he also had like stories about like finding various strange individuals from around the world. Like he famously went to China and he found a gentleman who was born with like four eyes. And when I say four eyes, I don't mean like he had like four eye sockets with one eye individually. I mean, he had two eyes, but each eye had, like, two irises and two pupils. You know, stuff like that. And he was the one who brought to the people's attention, hey, did you know that our country, that, you know, all these other countries have a national anthem, and we Americans don't? Now, here's the thing. He actually brought up the idea of using the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem, but here's the funny thing. He did it in jest. He basically called it like an old drinking song, an old British drinking song, which if you've heard, you know, if you hear it and you think about it, it's like, yeah, the cadence with it's like, yeah, that is something you could imagine somebody singing, like a bunch of dudes singing in like a tavern, right? And so he brought this to attention, and so the U.S., government was inundated with a bunch of letters. There was a congressional campaign, and in 1931, they formally made the Star Spangled Banner our national anthem. And that's how it became our national anthem, because this one dude was like, hey, did you guys know we didn't have a national anthem? And maybe it would be funny if we used this drinking song? And everybody totally took it seriously. And that's been Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. Yeah. So, with that out of the way, it is now time for the proper show proper. And as always, with the proper show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our big asshole of the week is Bill Cosby, because due to a technicality, technicality. His sentence was overturned by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court due to a Fifth Amendment violation, and he is now out of prison.
Yep. And, yeah, there was a whole big thing about this because the whole thing, he was in a civil suit with one of his accusers, and the DA at the time, I believe, essentially agreed to get him on the record. I don't know if it was on the record, but to admit to the things he did in exchange for saying that he would not be charged for drugging and sexually assaulting the person that was suing him.
Which is a textbook Fifth Amendment violation.
Yeah. And a new DA came in and had seen this evidence and, you know, got him charged on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, probably mention who it was that convinced him to do this in the first place.
Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor.
Who was later the defense attorney for?
Who's that?
President Donald Trump during his impeachment. Same dude.
Yeah.
Ah, so yeah.
There's definitely a bunch of bullshit that came out after this. What's her name? Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
Played his wife in the Cosby Show.
Actually.
Basically came out on her tweet saying, like, you know, celebrating that he got out, all this. In a way that was very much like, you know, fuck those accusers for getting him locked up. She knew he was innocent all along, that kind of stuff. To which, I forget what her name is, but the actress that played Aunt Viv, the original actress, basically came out and's like, what the hell are you saying? Basically just going all in on her, basically saying, we all knew what the hell he was doing. Saying that she knew specifically that there was at least four more people that had not come out with their accusations against him.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going off on her the whole way, even to the point of the thing that Felicia Rashad's doing now is she is the dean of Howard University's College of Fine Arts.
Yep.
To which the university was very much not happy to have their new dean, who just started in May, 2 months ago, talking about this shit. She did put a follow-up basically saying that, you know, she believe those the victims and that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, I guess conveniently, except for the ones that were accusing Bill Cosby of drugging them.
Yeah.
Kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did see a good joke of somebody wishing, or everybody, you know, wishing for Britney to be freed. It's the dudes from the one of the reality shows where they're, you know, taking people's shit in. Basically, like, yeah, all I can do right now is free Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that seems about right. What's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we got some other asshole news. Remember Nexvim or NXVIM?
Or Nick? Yeah.
NXVIM? I forgot. What? Nexvim. That's how it was pronounced. I had to remember that one.
Yeah.
It was that weird. It was that seminar that turned into a cult. Yeah. So Mac has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for her involvement in that.
Yeah. The group's leader was sentenced to 120 years in prison back in October for racketeering and sex trafficking charges.
Yep.
And she was very much involved in that. And most people know her from, what was it? Smallville.
Yep. That's right.
But unfortunately, she's on. Done every bit of goodwill that that show could have gotten for her.
Mm-hmm.
With all this shit.
Yeah. And next up, we got an LAPD bomb squad. And actually, this only happened like a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Thursday.
Yeah, it happened Thursday. Okay, so again, it's July 4th weekend. That means people are going to be doing fireworks. But the thing is, there's a bunch of places right now where you can't do fireworks because the conditions are so dry that it might accidentally cause a forest fire. California, especially Southern California, is one of those places.
yeah.
And so the bomb squad at the Los Angeles Police Department got 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks that they had confiscated, and they decided to put them in this, let's be honest here, this was basically them showing off their new toy that they had. It was one of those containment vehicles where you can, that's supposed to be like strong enough that you can blow something up inside of it and it'll still stay contained and intact. That didn't happen. They decided to detonate this stuff in the middle of a city, like a street, by the way. Like, you would think they would be smart and, like, drive this out to, like, a field or a parking lot or something.
I don't think it was intentional. I think it was they just did not handle these fireworks well, and they ended up going off.
Well, either way, what happened is the shit blew up, and it injured, like, 17 people in the process.
Yeah. Police officers, first responders, as well as people that were nearby. Luckily, it doesn't seem like any of them are life-threatening injuries, but the explosion also damaged the houses nearby as well.
Because,
you know, there's shrapnel flying out of this truck at this point. So it's like, all right, once you make sure everybody's safe and healthy, fire all these people.
Yeah.
Because they did the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do.
Yes, exactly.
Take the stuff to a, you know, safe location and then destroy it.
Yeah.
Instead, it fucking went off in their truck and destroyed that.
Yeah.
As well as damaged people's houses.
And property.
Hurt nearly 20 people here.
Mm-hmm. Like, again, they did all of this, like, in the middle of a street. And like you said, it probably wasn't intentional. But
their job is to be
safe. You're a bomb squad. You're supposed to handle this shit with care.
Yeah.
Like, this is your job. You go to training for this. But,
Whatever.
Also this week, the chief federal officer of the Trump Business Organization, Alan Weisselberg, was charged by the Manhattan District Attorney with tax-related crimes. And I think it was like 15 different felonies. Like
Something like that. Yeah, this indictment was unsealed on Thursday. Prosecutors alleged that starting from as early as 2005 up until last month, the Trump Organization and Weisselberg have committed tax fraud, falsified business records as part of a scheme to compensate executives of the Trump Organization, quote, off the books. The goal, prosecutors claim, was to avoid paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes by compensating employees with lavish perks in addition to their regular pay.
Yep.
This guy allegedly received indirect compensation, including housing expenses, home furnishings, and leases for two Mercedes-Benz automobiles with a total value of around $1.76 million. He's accused of evading more than $900,000 in federal, state, and local taxes combined. Private school tuition for two of his family members was paid with personal checks signed by Trump. Weisselberg, an employee of Trump Organization since 1973, is also alleged to have arranged for various Trump businesses to make payments to him and to other executives as independent contractors, conferring tax benefits on retirement accounts, all sorts of things. Let's see. The most serious charge he's getting is second-degree grand larceny, a Class C felony that carries a maximum sentence of 15 years. This guy, I think is around 70. I forget what his age is, but
he's like 72.
Yeah. The most serious charge for the Trump Organization is criminal tax fraud. A corporation found guilty of criminal tax fraud under New York law may be fined double the amount of the underpaid tax liability resulting from the commission of the crime, or $250,000. I assume whatever is most, but Felony conviction for the Trump Organization would make it, quote, very difficult for them to do business, including obtaining bank loans and certain insurance policies, says Richard Gottlieb, a former assistant district attorney in Manhattan, who's now a criminal defense lawyer. There are many deals that an organization like the Trump Organization would like to enter into. So if it's convicted of a felony, they're going to be barred by the governmental agency that supervises any particular projects. So they could be debarred from conducting certain businesses. Mm-hmm. If convicted, the Trump Organization is in very, very serious trouble.
Yep.
And again, if you've paid attention to any stuff that's going on, the Trump kids have been acting like they never heard of this guy.
Yeah.
He's been there for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're running the company.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump. And it's like, you guys don't get to do that when you're running the company. You don't get to say one of the other chief officers at your company that you've never heard of him before.
Whereas their father is, I mean, he pretty much said, like, he knows who that dude is, and he watched the footage.
He signed the checks and none of these things, so.
And apparently, like, his people were with him when they turned on the news and they showed, you know, that image of Weisselberg being, you know, dog walked out through the hallway, you know, with the mask on and the handcuffs on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was like, I can't believe they do that to him. He's a tremendous guy. And I was like, I have a feeling that you're going to get dragged into this very soon.
I'm sure he's going to try. They're going to try very hard to get a scapegoat for him, which might be this guy.
Yeah.
You know, mob style of having somebody take the fall for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he put a statement out after this came out, the political witch hunt by the radical left Democrats, with New York now taking over the assignment, continues. It is dividing our country like never before.
Ugh.
It's like, none of this has anything to do with politics. It's literally tax fraud.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, like, this particular case has been building for, like, more than a few years.
Yeah. This particular probe from 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, last asshole we had, there was a lobbyist for ExxonMobil that was caught on video. I believe this was done by Greenpeace, or at least their investigative arm, where they basically tricked this guy into what he thought was going to be like a job interview. And he basically like spilled a bunch of things of like what him and Exxon were actively trying to do to like undermine any kind of effective legislation on climate change. And like, he names names. That's the...
Yeah, he talked about working with shadow groups, supporting a carbon tax that he believes will never happen, and influencing senators to weaken climate elements of President Biden's infrastructure plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe Manchin, I talk to his office every week. He called the Democratic senator from West Virginia a kingmaker. Discussed how on the Democrat side, we look for the moderates on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Their efforts to stop policies that could hurt the company's business. Which, like, none of this is surprising in the least, because this is a company that I think we talked about a few years ago, that we found out that, hey, they knew about climate change well before, you know, the whole big thing with the scientists announcing that this shit was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, like, years before that, and still kept doing what they were doing, knowing it was going to hurt everybody on the earth.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm going to see if I can find the names that they specifically mentioned. They might not be in this article, but there's a lot of the Republicans you expect.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Sinema and Manchin on the Democrat side.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
Not a huge surprise.
Yeah. And part of me really hopes that this ends up being like the smoking gun that people will pay attention to and it'll actually do something. But I'm also afraid that it's going to get completely ignored.
Yeah. Which they're trying to say, like, his views, his comments don't represent his company's views. I was like, yes, they do. has literally been your goal for the past 50 years, is to undermine any sort of climate change action, even before people had that term.
Like, yeah, of course his opinions reflect you, because he literally worked as a representative for your company. That's kind of how that works.
Yeah, this is all PR on their part.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it wasn't all assholes this week. As usual, we do have a couple of people who did some good. The first one is that the House of Representatives voted to create a select committee to investigate the January 6th Beer Belly Putsch, a.k.a. the January 6th insurrection.
Since the Senate wouldn't do anything on this,
mm-hmm.
The House is doing it themselves.
Yep.
Just two Republicans voted for this.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Cheney of Wyoming and Adam Kinzinger of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Liz Cheney's already gotten an invite to the group.
Yeah, I believe it was Speaker Pelosi. She went on there and said, yeah, she has agreed to join on the committee. So I guess that's as good as saying she's going to be on the committee.
Yeah, which the weird thing is, I think Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, mm-hmm. has basically been saying, like, you know, if you're invited to be on this thing, you better accept it, or else we're going to, you know, remove you from all your committee assignments, which, like, yeah. You literally voted against this dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're only doing this to save face.
Yeah. Though it should probably be put out that in the House of Representatives and in Congress, committees are essentially run like mini dictatorships. If you basically don't follow with the head of the committee's rules and the corruption or whatever, they will basically kick you and basically ostracize you from whatever else that you might be wanting to do. That's kind of the reason why Liz Cheney is able to do this and kind of get away with it.
She's already had all of her,
mm-hmm.
her rank and file stuff removed.
Yeah, and McCarthy is at least smart enough to realize that, you know, having, you know, trying to make it at least look so they can have like a small moral victory is like, yeah, so they'll look at this and go, hey, look, we wanted to be on this too, you know.
Except all of you voted against it.
Let's be honest, though. As much as I would like it to be otherwise, I don't think there's really going to be much that's going to come out of this. I think there's going to be a lot of grandstanding and a lot of finger pointing, and then at the end of the day, there's going to be no real consequences.
Yeah.
The real consequences are already being happened by the Department of Homeland Security. They're the ones who are already in the FBI. They're the ones who've already rounded up like 500 people.
Yeah, though, I'd like to see the stuff written down in the record. Definitely detailing of like the part that's actual Republicans were involved in this whole thing.
My sneaking suspicion is that the reason why so many of the GOP does not want to be involved in this is because some of them were secretly involved in kickstarting it.
Yeah, I saw that there was a YouTuber that was involved in the
mm-hmm.
The insurrection, who then subsequently got invited to be a translator for mm-hmm. them at the grandstanding they were doing at the border.
Yeah.
You know, where Jim Acosta, you know, asked Trump if he was going to apologize for what he did on January 6th.
Yeah.
And people booed him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, of course you're going to boo him, because you're all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. But, anyway. So, yeah. And let's see, what else we got? Oh, yeah, the House also voted to remove Confederate statues from the U.S. Capitol. I think they also voted to remove a statue of that one Supreme Court justice. I think it was Mr. Tandy, who was behind the Dred Scott decision.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. But,
how many Republicans do you think voted against this?
I'm going to say just about all of them.
No, it's 120. That's like 190 some, so quite a few.
All right.
For this?
About, say,
it's like 2/3 maybe.
Yeah, about 70. So, yeah, that's at least that. Yeah.
Which is like very convenient that somebody you're voting to acknowledge this part of history, but
mm-hmm.
when it comes to maybe a thing like critical race theory,
Yeah.
You're so against the full picture of history.
Oh, make no mistake. That whole thing over CRT is 100% just a cynical vote getter. That's all it is. Not a single one of those individuals give a crap about it.
Yeah, they don't even know what it is.
They don't even know.
That's why they keep acting like, oh, we need to keep this out of our elementary schools. Like, they don't teach it to, like, maybe high school, like AP classes, if not college. Like, it's not an early ages topic.
No, they don't even teach it in high school AP classes either. It's 100% only something you would encounter if you were in maybe your second year in college and if you specifically took a class on it.
Yeah, it's like, it's in your regular schooling, you're just getting the basic, you know, give everybody respect and all this kind of stuff. That's the most you get on topics of race in your elementary school classes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if it really was, you know, so many people wouldn't have had to learn about the Tulsa Massacre, you know, from the first episode of the Watchmen TV show.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, that's how most people learned about it. But anyway. And finally, I don't know when this is going to start.
This is, it's not happening for a little while because there's a whole process to go through.
Yeah.
But it'll be adding a X gender modifier.
Yeah.
So that those that are, you know, non-binary, intersex, or gender non-conforming can have an option for them.
Yeah. Those who use them, they pronouns, they can choose a gender. And once again, I'm pretty sure the U.S. is kind of a late comer to this because I think a lot of European countries have already started doing this.
Yeah. I think also part of this is that previously you were required to have like a doctor's report to even get this sort of thing on your passport.
Yep.
Now it's literally just if you do want this, you will be able to pick that option.
Yep. So yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Yeah. So with that out of the way, it's now time to start the proper show proper. And we can now tell you that Donald Rumsfeld is dead.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not going to say crab dance because I already put crab dance on my Facebook page. But crab dance.
Yeah, it's I think it was put together pretty well by The Onion. Which was like I think it's basically saying the Iraq War has died at 88.
Yeah. And that is only somewhat of a joke because he is the primary architect of it.
Yep. Our weapons of mass destruction died at 88. Because that was the term they used to give themselves cause to start this whole war. It lasted 20 years, still.
Technically still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And should probably also point out he was also, I believe he was National Security Advisor to, I think it wasn't it, President Reagan as well, which is ironic because as for the war in Iraq, we were actually allied with Saddam Hussein against Iran back in the 80s. And there's that famous picture of Rumsfeld and Saddam shaking hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I know that picture because Jon Stewart used to put it up all the frickin' time on The Daily Show just to remind you of how messed up America's foreign policy can be. But ultimately, he never apologized for it. Even Robert McNamara, the guy who's one of the main architects of the Vietnam War, at the end of his life was like, yes, I was wrong. I sent all those young boys to their death. It was in vain. I'm sorry. Not Rumsfeld. Oh, no, he was unrepentant until he went into the grave.
Yeah. I did see another Onion thing. It was basically, what was it here? Someone's got to occupy Afghanistan, grumbles Dick Cheney, shoving firearms into his suitcase.
Yeah.
Because they're basically in the process of pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who's going to do it now?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All that shit went down when I was still in high school. Golly. Yep. Mm. Well. Yeah.
People wonder why millennials are fucked up. So Columbine, 9/11.
And the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Then we had the housing crisis. 2008 economic downturn.
Yep. Trump, and then another economic downturn.
Yeah.
And the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
All fun times.
And of course, Generation Z got to enjoy at least 2/3 of that with us. So, yeah. Anyway. So, next up, we got a couple of decisions from SCOTUS. The first one is SCOTUS rejecting a Virginia school board's appeal to reinstate transgender bathroom ban. Yeah, so... Yeah,
this was when it happened 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Something like this? Oh, no, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Gavin Grimm, you might have seen this on Last Week Tonight at a certain point. He was a 15-year-old student at Gloucester High School. And he was banned from using the boys' restroom. The school board's policy required Grimm to use restrooms that corresponded with his biological sex, female, or private bathrooms. Grimm filed a federal lawsuit that wound its way through the courts for 6 years, and now he is 22, saying, "We won, honored to have been part of this victory." But yeah, he was forced to use the nurse's restroom, a private bathroom, and the girl's restroom was humiliating, severely interfered with his education. So he's heartened by his victory in court, because a win in Virginia is a win everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hopefully putting the nail in the bathroom ban shit.
Yeah, hopefully. Unfortunately, as we've seen with Roe v. Wade, that unfortunately just means that they can also use it to be another culture war touchstone. And unfortunately, it's not all good, because SCOTUS also voted in favor of Arizona's voting restrictions.
Yeah, 6-3
mm-hmm.
along the party lines there.
Mm-hmm.
Authored by conservative Justice Samuel Alito, held that the restrictions on early ballot collection by third parties and where ballots may be cast did not violate the Voting Rights Act, a landmark 1965 federal law that prohibits racial discrimination in voting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, put a big dent in the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think there was also another thing that was part of this. I'm trying to see if there's mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure there's another one that's was big, but oh well, we'll move on to the next thing.
Good news is that apparently at the same time as this is happening, a lot of the voter suppression stuff that happened here in Georgia is being challenged by the Supreme Court, so.
Yeah, though we're at the end of this year's term.
So unfortunately, we'll have to wait until next summer.
Or later this fall, I think.
I can't remember how this works, but. Yeah.
They're open for 9 months and then closed for 3.
Yeah.
Essentially like a school, except for old people.
Mm-hmm. And next up, finally, after God knows how long, the NCAA has finally voted to allow athletes to profit off of their names, images, and likeness.
Yep.
It is.
This is starting, I think, as of the 1st.
Yep.
The decision to suspend restrictions on payments to athletes for things such as sponsorship deals, online endorsements, and personal appearances applies to all 3 divisions or some 460,000 athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowing athletes to enter into agreements with agents while encouraging them to keep schools informed. Yeah. NCAA says schools are responsible for determining whether those activities are consistent with state law. NCAA wants to have federal laws or its own permanent rules regarding the issue known as NIL, was forced to seek a temporary solution rather than have athletes in some states eligible for compensation while others were not. Yeah, there were 10 states that were set to have laws go into effect on Thursday, so they were kind of forced to get this out quickly. Otherwise, those states would have much more enticing offers for students that were coming into those teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. And obviously, it started to see people that are prompting them to overrule various penalties they've put on athletes like Reggie Bush, need to give up his Heisman over some payment stuff, and various other teams that have had that stuff over the years. So maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we finally have gotten to this point, because what the NCAA has been doing up to this point is just an absolute travesty.
Just taking all that money from them?
Mm-hmm. Just incredibly gross.
Yeah. Them and their schools.
Yeah. And the thing is, all the riches go specifically to the schools and to, like, the people on the sporting committees and the coaches.
Yeah.
And, like, the, you know, they get all this money, so much so that they can, like, have their own, like, private jacuzzis and bars and, you know, all these luxuries, and yet their athletes can barely get by a lot of the times.
Yeah, which there's Clemson's coach, Dabo Swinney,
mm-hmm.
who at one point, upon having this topic brought up to him, that he was basically like, well, I'm going to quit coaching whenever, if they ever do this, because this is ridiculous. It's like, dude, you can make so many ways, so much money off of your own deal. And with the way that these colleges do this, or these coaches do this, they are often like the state school, the public schools.
Yeah.
Usually one of those coaches, either football or basketball, is the most highest paid public person in the state. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every state. Which shows you sort of how much you should not take their opinions for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. On this stuff.
Yeah.
Because guess what? They just want as much money as possible. They don't want the kids to be able to have any amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Like, some of these, their situation was so bad, they had to register for, like, food stamps and shit.
Yeah, or take out loans.
Yeah, even though, you know, the schools are, like, selling jerseys with their names on them. Like,
yeah.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, so the next step might be some sort of players union for the college players.
I hope so.
I don't know how long that would take, because obviously they're only there for a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe less for some of the sports.
There's going to be some kind of committee that's going to be needed, because they're going to have to decide, like, you know, prices and shit for, like, how they're going to, you know, for, you know, negotiating, like, you know, rights and stuff, or how are they going to, you know, get merchandising and stuff like that, you know.
A way to level the field for everybody.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it all on the individual players.
And giving too much power to the schools. And they're, you know, they're the ones who run them, you know, the deans and everything. But, yeah. And then we have the story that came out of Surfside in Miami. This big condo that apparently had been having issues for a number of years finally collapsed. I think it was one evening, and now, so far, 24 people have been confirmed dead because of it.
Yeah, it's still like 120-some that are still missing.
Yeah.
And this is being complicated by a variety of things, as our next story we'll talk about. There's some pressing weather coming into the area that could further cause issues, so they're even also looking to demolish the rest of the condo.
Yeah.
As is, to limit how much damage can be done.
I checked, and they're supposed to commence demolition tomorrow.
Yeah.
But apparently the story about this building is just almost like a comedy of errors.
Yeah, like a lot of those types of issues with buildings, like, oh, there's, you know, this long list of issues that need to be dealt with. But yeah, the people at the top don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Or pay for all of them to be done,
yeah, you know,
quickly. So,
well, it's another thing, because remember, this is a condo building, which means that, you know, there is not one specific owner. There's a bunch of owners and a homeowner, yeah, association. And so, first and foremost, the building had a major design flaw that apparently allowed water to seep into underneath the building that made the ground overly malleable, so much so that apparently the building was starting to sink, which, for the record, that's not just a problem for this particular building. Apparently, that's an issue all over Miami, because let's face it, Miami is slowly sinking.
Yeah, there's the whole problem where Miami Beach has to be replenished with sand every so often because it just washes away because, guess what, the water's rising.
Yeah, they have a term down there, it's called sunny day flooding. And it's because there's not a cloud in the sky, but because of the tide, it's all like, you know, you get these fairly regular flooding.
Yeah.
That, you know, and it goes from out onto the beach, slowly seeping into the streets. And then as for this particular building, there's also the fact that there was just a bunch of crusty old condo owners who didn't want to put up the money for the repairs.
And now the Florida government's taken control of all that money.
Yeah.
Because they're like, these people can't do anything. We're going to go over the records and all this and figure out what the fuck they've been doing with it.
Now, here's the thing. My parents both own condo, have a condo that they're partial owners of. And their homeowners association, like, they have a specific, like, fund specifically that they draw in from all owners for any repairs that are needed. So they always have, like, funding that they're drawing in all the time. Apparently, the homeowners association for this particular condo building wasn't doing that. Yeah. Because if that was the case, then those handful of people who didn't want to pay for the condo, they could have just gotten kicked out of the building and have new buyers who would actually do it.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, it's in the old days, they used to this is sort of like a cynical thing that people sometimes misuse now. You ever heard the concept of the tragedy of the commons?
No.
Okay, so it's the tragedy of the commons is this idea is like there's a common resource that a bunch of people use, but there are no like structures or programs in place so that there can be some regulation on like how much anybody can take out or use the resource so that others can have it. And because of that, it's depleted to the point that it's no longer usable. In the original case, the commons had to do with a field that would use to grow crops, but it wasn't organized enough so that eventually they depleted all the nutrients from the soil and it was barren. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you have some degree of organization, a commons will work really well. And it's been shown to work really well all over the world. It can be anything from like business cooperatives to like, you know, places that co-own like a salt dome or something like that, where they control, they have like price controls and stuff like that. If you have a structure in place, the commons will be fine. But you have to instill this sort of ethic in people that they have a patent interest in making sure that these regulations are followed and that they contribute to it every so often. That's kind of what didn't happen here.
Yeah.
People have also brought up the idea that there were regulations that weren't followed. I'm not entirely sure about that because I'm not sure if there were any regulations that existed that would necessarily apply to this. Not that regulations are a bad thing. It's just that I don't know if there were ever actually regulations that applied here or if there any existed that applied here.
Well, that's like a thing that happens too often.
Mm-hmm.
People ignore things that need to be done because
time,
money, whatever.
Yeah. And the thing is, unfortunately, there's another condo building that a couple of days, I think it was actually yesterday, that they had to evacuate.
Yeah.
They were afraid that this was also fixing to happen.
Especially with the hurricane coming in.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is not going to be the first time. We're probably going to hear more stories of this simply because just the southern tip of Florida has some serious issues it needs to face. And
it's almost like they built all this stuff on a swamp.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not drying up anytime soon.
Yeah. And keep in mind, when you're living on a coastal town, you don't just have to worry about flooding. There's also the saltwater air that slowly corrodes shit over time.
Yeah, and
it's just an additional thing you have to worry about. But, anyway. So, yeah. Speaking of, we mentioned that there's a hurricane coming. It's Hurricane Elsa. And this next few stories are basically what we're calling climate change in action, because pretty obvious why this is happening. Hurricane Elsa is the earliest we've reached the fifth storm of hurricane season.
Yeah, this is really doesn't seem like this storm is going to be too powerful. Well, that could change, but right now it seems like it's going to stay a category one.
Yeah.
But it's going to hit Florida right up the dick.
Yeah.
And hit you guys up there in a few days later.
Unfortunately. Now, hopefully it's going to have depleted much of its strength by the time that happens.
Yeah.
It'll mostly just be lots of rain.
Yeah, but we'll see then.
The last time we got hit with a tropical storm, well, I say the last time, we actually got hit with a tropical storm after that one other time, but we were better prepared for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one time was basically chaos for like the next week, because
yeah,
there was no power. None of, basically every place in Central Georgia was completely out of power. We had no electricity.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's going to go right at Cuba.
Yeah.
Right up to Florida.
Yeah.
And basically just follow up the East Coast.
Yeah.
Through Maryland by Thursday.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Luckily, it's probably just going to be a lot of rain for you guys and some wind.
Yeah. I'm looking at the...
they're saying like Puerto Rico get up to 3 inches of rain here. And
yeah.
4 to 8 inches on Cuba and Jamaica.
Yeah. I'm looking at forecast, and they're only putting wind at like 8 miles per hour, so
yeah, well, that could change because it's a hurricane.
And you know, I mean, there was that one point last year where that one hurricane just decided to stick around on top of the Bahamas because the water was so warm.
Yeah, there's and the other part of this is just the historical part of this. Where this is the earliest we've hit the fifth storm of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, the earliest fifth named storm on record, pushing the season ahead of the pace set by last year's hurricane season.
Yeah.
The first hurricane of the season typically isn't seen until August 10th. What is today's date?
It is July 3rd.
That's a month earlier than usual. The average date of a first tropical storm falling on July 9th. Again, what is today's date?
July 3rd.
We're on the 5th.
Yeah.
We usually don't have a first until, like, next weekend.
Yeah.
This isn't normal.
Nope.
This should not be treated like normal.
No.
This stuff is more of a late summer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not here in the fucking beginning of summer.
Right. And on top of all that, there is that huge heat dome that has on top of the Pacific Northwest and Western Canada. And because of that, hundreds of people have died because of it from, I guess, heat-related illnesses.
Yeah, people not having air conditioning in their homes, not properly preparing for it for various reasons. Yeah, it seems like the death toll in Oregon reached 79, at least as of this article here, which is yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Most of which occurring in the county that has Portland.
Yep.
Let's see. Canada, British Columbia's chief coroner said her office received reports of at least 486 sudden and unexpected deaths between Friday and Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, she said about 165 people would die in the province over a 5-day period.
So
that's quite an increase.
Yeah,
so this is climate change. These are not normal temperatures. These now, are temperatures that are like 40, 50 degrees above the average for these times of years.
Now, for the record, this is, although it is a very extreme event, it's not necessarily unprecedented. The Pacific Northwest and Western Canada did have a pretty nasty heat wave about over a century ago.
Yeah, though, there's about a century of not being like that.
So it's like, yeah, that's...
And I believe Oregon, like Portland, basically set a new record every day. Mm-hmm. For highest temperatures ever recorded there. As it just kept climbing up and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's... Yeah, it's not the Pacific Northwest is a, you know, a colder climate.
Yeah, it's supposed to be anyway.
But they're used to, you know, it being nice during the summer and cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Canada.
Yeah. And, as far as Canada, the entire Canadian town of Lytton is currently on fire.
Yeah. Had huge wildfires just engulfing most of the town. The day after, they hit 121 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have warm days, but these areas are not designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw a number of pictures in the Pacific Northwest and Canada. Like the asphalt just cracked because it has... You know, it was not built for this. Parts of the tar and such on the asphalt just melting because it's, you know, it's that fucking hot. And this town especially just pretty much destroyed completely.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it seems like the vast majority of the town has been evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than 1,000 people were forced to evacuate as flames quickly moved in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sad to see.
Yeah. And just to put the whole sort of cherry on the shit sundae, there was an oil leak underneath the Gulf of Mexico that then caught fire.
Yeah, with some wild videos of this stuff, to which like people are like, this has to be CG or something, right? Because it just does not look like a real thing. That would be happening, but this was a result of a leak in a pipe from Pemex, Petroleos Mexicanos, which is like a state-owned petroleum company. One that's already in deep debt, so it's not really great news for them.
Yeah.
But it's also been a thing of like, we probably shouldn't be doing this. Kind of shit mm-hmm. in the seas, because it's leaks and accidents and this kind of shit happen all the time. Not necessarily the leaks catching on fire to create this whole weird ass scenario, yeah. But it's stuff that's been going on for a long time, to even the degree there's some leaks that just have been going on for like 14 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did nobody know about this? It's like, because it gets buried, you know. Sometimes caused by hurricanes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, this, you know, seems like it would happen.
But yeah.
Nobody's held accountable.
And in the face of that, you realize, wow, the ocean is surprisingly durable.
Yeah. But yeah, of course, a lot of people have commented on this. They have some fun tweets here. One person saying, appears hell has opened up in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
Another one said here, pretty sure that is Godzilla.
Yeah. No. It's Cthulhu.
Yeah, that was also mentioned. Someone saying here, we know we're doing our best for the planet when we have to spray water on the ocean because we set it on fire. Though I believe that water that they're spraying has like higher nitrogen content in it, something like that, that can better help put it out.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of take out the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Never in your life forget the time humans caught the ocean on fire and then tried to put it out by spraying water on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I know this might sound controversial, but maybe extracting fossil fuels from the seafloor or anywhere really is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wind turbines and solar panels have never caused the Gulf of Mexico to catch fire. Just saying. Mm-hmm. And honestly, even the official Diablo account commented on this.
Yeah.
Those people are like, bad form.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, their whole point is to have fun with shit.
Yeah.
And they can't do anything about it anyway, so it's like, it's social media. It's not that serious.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, now we go on to some man-made bullshit. Well, I mean, climate change is also kind of man-made, I guess, but another kind of man-made bullshit. The Olympics. So for those who don't know, the International Olympic Committee is one of the most corrupt bodies in international sporting. Like, they're right up there with FIFA.
And competent.
Yeah. And also notoriously effing racist, as we find out. Because first and foremost, U.S. sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson.
Yeah.
She was suspended over a positive marijuana test. Now, I got to remind you, marijuana is now commercially legal in
19 states, I think.
19 states in the union?
Yeah. Still not federally legal?
No.
And also still not legal as far as like the Olympics and all that. And they seem to have acknowledged that in the way they did the suspension, because I think the typical suspension is like 2 years.
Yeah. They've
made this into a 1 month suspension that is retroactive to when the test was first taken.
Mm-hmm.
So she is going to miss the first race that she is qualified for, which is a shame, but she would potentially be able to, I guess, the 100 meters, and then the one that she could, that she is in the running to make the final cut for, would be the 4x100, which is a relay race. She is one of the 6 finalists for that, so she could potentially race that.
Mm-hmm.
She is picked for that.
Mm.
She did apologize for it, saying, "As much as I'm disappointed, I know that when I step on the track, I represent not only myself, I represent a community that's shown great support, great love. Apologize for the fact that I didn't know how to control my emotions or deal with my emotions during that time."
Mm-hmm.
And that time she's talking about is when her biological mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
She dealt with it by taking marijuana.
Yeah.
I think with the Olympics, what I read, that they largely take their policies on this stuff from the U.S., so you can figure that out on your own, where that comes from.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of that is due to race stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From the past. I think this will be changed probably for the next Olympics.
Probably.
Because they've...
This will be kept.
Because very much they seem to acknowledge how stupid this is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good tweets out there being like, you know, if you can smoke weed and run faster than anybody, you deserve 2 gold medals. Weed is not really a performance enhancer.
No, and considering she's like the fastest runner in the U.S. right now, and the fact that, you know, she smokes weed and still can perform like that, pretty much shows that that's just dumb.
Yeah. But yeah, she should hopefully maybe get another chance here to race.
Yeah.
But she is still 21, so she's got plenty of future events to work towards as well.
Yeah, and now for some more bullshit. 2 female athletes from Namibia were banned from the Olympic 400 meters because they supposedly had too much testosterone.
Yeah, not for like taking steroids or anything, just natural testosterone, which is like, this doesn't really make any sense. I know there's limits on that stuff, especially when it comes to transgender women.
Mm-hmm.
But these are not transgender women, I don't believe.
These are cis women.
Yeah.
There's some racist bullshit going on here.
Conveniently, all of these stories involve black women.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering. I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Part of me think that it's a coincidence, and the other part of me is seeing a pattern.
Yeah. There's also, like, part of this is also just their, you know, them having natural testosterone levels that just give them an advantage. And it's like, you know, people didn't get mad that Michael Phelps had a fucking Aquaman body.
Mm-hmm.
Made him perfect for swimming.
Yeah.
And just dominates as much as he could.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was literally unfair to pretty much anybody else he faced.
Yeah.
Because he's just a genetic freak. And it's like, it's the same for these women here.
Yeah.
It's like they would have to take blockers, I think.
Yeah.
And those aren't necessarily guaranteed to just do, like, lower their testosterone levels and then that's it. Like, you could have other effects, and it's like just intentionally diminishing their abilities just for the appearance of a fair race that is already fair.
Yeah. And as for Michael Phelps, I mean, it's not like he didn't have to do any work to get that. You know,
No, but he had the natural figure that made it so that he did not have to do as much physical work as he would if he did not have it.
And yet he
tried to be good.
So, you know, it's like,
now he smokes weed all the time because he doesn't have to care anymore.
Yep. And then this last one is particularly egregious. There's a swim cap that I think they're called soul caps that were specifically designed to be used by women who have thick, curly, and I guess relatively woolly hair that, you know, grows out so that, you know, they can sort of keep it under wraps so that they don't have to worry about it with swimming.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed in the Olympics, even though it's not any kind of real advantage. If anything, these things are bigger than a lot of swim caps, which you would think would make them an active disadvantage, that they would have more drag.
Yeah, but yeah, it's it's a British brand, Soulcap. They have sought to have their products officially recognized by FINA, which is sort of the international organization that oversees the swimming, international swimming. The caps were barred by FINA on the grounds that, to their, quote, best knowledge, the athletes competing at the international events never used, either required to use caps of such size and configuration. Which is a pretty dumb rationale.
Because
one, I'm sure you can figure out a reason why maybe women have not needed those. Maybe having less black women there.
Yeah.
And maybe those that actually wanted to keep their hair rather than cutting it off.
You know,
for the sake of these,
is something that a lot of black women have had to do in order to effectively compete, which is wrong.
Yeah. FINA described the swim caps as unsuitable due to them, quote, not following the natural form of the head, which is like, yeah, that's what hair is.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be open to reviewing the situation with soul cap and similar products while, quote, understanding the importance of inclusivity and representation. So they don't seem 100%, you know, against them. Just need to figure it out. You know, you've had plenty of time to figure this out. You had a whole extra year.
Mm-hmm.
So they may end up allowing it. So I think there's only one athlete that's qualified for the Olympics that particularly is going to use these.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she does mention here that it's the only black swimmer for Britain endorses the company's caps, Alice Deering. People used to tell me my hair was, quote, too big for the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Never that the cap was too small for my hair. And that's kind of the way that people look at this stuff. I was like, well, your hair is too big for the cap. Well, maybe the cap is too small.
Because
it's made for a certain type of person that doesn't have big hair.
Yeah, or it's made for a specific kind of hair. The kind that it doesn't, that's not, you know, naturally kinky or woolly.
Yeah, like white people.
But, yeah, so that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Again, I would hope that this is something that the IOC maybe will take a second look at a few years from now. But again, the IOC is also notoriously corrupt, so we'll see.
Yeah, as well as these various organizations that oversee these different sports.
Mm-hmm.
I did see somebody put up the funny thing of like, how are we going to have skateboarding in the Olympics without weed?
Good point. Good point. All right, and next up, there's a story of a there's a protest going on, and there was a cop, I believe, who was just kind of being an asshole. And so a protester was videotaping it, and then he got the bright idea that, hey, what if I get my iPhone out and I blast this Taylor Swift song, so if they try to put this up on YouTube, it'll get DMCA'd. It didn't work. The video went viral very quickly.
Yeah, that's not how it works, cops. It's like, okay, if you've gone to this length to try to keep this video from being able to be shared, it's like, what are you hiding? Turn that around on the cops.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was in Oakland, Alameda County, or country, courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, on June 29th, BLM protesters gathered at the Alameda County, I think it's county, not country, but Alameda County Courthouse in Oakland before a pretrial hearing for Jason Fletcher, former police officer charged with murdering Stephen Taylor, black man inside a Walmart store in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Captured on video, an officer from the Alameda County Sheriff's Office confronted one of the protesters, James Birch of the Anti-Police Terror Project, to demand Birch remove his group's banner. Birch questioned why the banner needed to be moved before the cop takes out his mobile phone and starts playing the Swift song.
Mm.
Which is like a weird response to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me get my phone out here and blast some Swift, some Taylor Swift. Birch confused says, are we having a dance party now? The officer eventually admits, you can record all you want, I just know it can't be posted on YouTube. Later, the officer identified as Sergeant David Shelby reiterates to Birch, I'm playing my music so that you can't post on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The video available at this link, linked in the article, has been viewed more than 170,000 times since it was shared Thursday. Because YouTube doesn't take down videos just because there's a song in it. Maybe it's just the whole video is the song.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but if you're playing it out of your tinny phone, all that, it's not going to get taken down. The label may, you know, put a copyright thing in just to get all the ad money from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing that will typically happen unless they're just a weird thing that the algorithm does. But obviously that didn't happen here and his brilliant plan didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this next story is just, it's hilarious. So here's the thing. When you start a social media app or a social media program, there are certain terms of service that you were required to enact. And despite all of the talk of there like being, you know, big tech being censoring stuff, and for the record, big tech is definitely censoring some things, some of which should not be censored. The hypocrisy comes when those on the right say, well, we're going to go make our own, you know, social media thing against big tech. And then, you know, they end up putting, like, they end up having to do all that, you know, terms of service stuff that, again, every other social media program has to do. Unless, you know, they decide not to. So is the story of Getter, which is a social media app that was started by a former Trump CEO. And now it's full of hentai.
Yep.
No other way to say it. It is filled to the brim with porn.
Yeah, it's a very stupid name for a service.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even sure what Getter... It's without an E at the end. It's like if you took Twitter and took the E off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I don't know what Getter is. Getter done?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, but again, that doesn't make that much sense, but it's obviously aimed at the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a new social media service that is anti-censorship.
Yeah.
Free speech, all that kind of stuff. Recently launched earlier in June by a team led by Jason Miller, mm-hmm. who's ex-spokesperson for Donald Trump and the CEO for his whatever campaign company. Yeah, that new journey for this, like the first message on Getter was, I don't know what they call it, a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Says, welcome to Getter and start a new journey. That new journey, thanks to spam comments left en masse below the message, mm-hmm. involves encountering things like anime porn and repeated copies of an image depicting Hillary Clinton's head photoshopped onto another woman's nude body.
Mm-hmm.
most major social media platforms have automated filters that root out and remove or censor nude images.
Mm-hmm.
I think Twitter like automatically hides that stuff if you have the option on.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing at the moment. Getter does not have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
While it frames itself as an anti-censorship platform in its terms of service, mm-hmm. Getter notes, quote, holding freedom of speech is a core value. The company reserves the right to, quote, address content that comes to our attention that we believe is ...pornographic, alongside material that may be, quote, offensive, obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, violent, harassing, threatening, abusive, illegal or otherwise objectionable or inappropriate. Anyway, so they're getting flooded with a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
I just saw another article. It's basically like people just creating various fake official Donald Trump accounts because he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah. And I'm looking here at Kotaku, and apparently this website is getting flooded with Sonic porn.
Yeah, sure.
Not just Sonic porn, but like Sonic fetish porn. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any other kind of Sonic porn out there.
Yeah.
You would like say that, or MPreg porn or whatever.
Yeah. Just, it's a lot of communist memes. A lot of, there's this one right here says, oh fuck, I think I'm pregnant. Sonic came in my pussy. It's like, yeah, it's once again, the furries have come in and fought the good fight.
Yep.
Yeah. And then finally, last story we got for the night, Disney Plus is getting a collection of Star Wars anime shorts on September 22nd.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for this earlier and it seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They have, let's see, announced 9 episodes for this. And I think it's all going up at once.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have Kamikaze Douga doing some stuff here. Geno Studio, or Twin Engine, I guess. Studio Colorido, also Twin Engine. Studio Trigger, Kinema Citrus, Science Saru, and Production IG working on shorts for this.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much expected Studio Trigger since they kind of hitch their boat onto Netflix for the time being. So, yeah, they're hitched their up for the time, but they're apparently okay with, like, contributing to all these various projects.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It ultimately benefits them because you're like, oh, Studio Trigger. Oh, they're working on stuff on Netflix. Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And you can watch the trailer. It's a lot of the people working on this stuff talking about being excited to work on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Bringing, you know, their Japanese culture into the Star Wars universe and their various divisions of that.
Star Wars has always been super duper popular in Japan. So,
yeah, it's very anime as much as people might not think of it as that.
I mean, it's heavily, I mean, if you think about the original movie, it's heavily inspired by Kurosawa. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it almost lifts entirely the plot from the Hidden Fortress. So,
yeah.
And you know, the whole thing with the lightsabers is very, you know, Chambara type samurai stuff. You know, the Jedi are very samurai like.
They are pretty much designed as samurai.
Yeah.
With their robes and all that.
Yeah, literally, like, the whole, like, late 70s, early 80s, like, sci-fi boom that happened in Japanese pop culture can almost be specifically put at the feet of the success of Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, because that's when, like, Gundam came out. And, I mean, there was already, like, popular, like, sci-fi anime from that point. I mean, you had, like, Space Battleship Yamato and stuff. But after that, you had the whole mecha boom that happened. The real robot genre that kicked off after it. And you pretty much have Star Wars to thank for it.
I'm sure Godzilla and Star Wars influenced that stuff a lot.
Yeah. Also, if you ever wanted to, go on YouTube. There's a couple of, like, animated Star Wars shorts that were made, like fan shorts that were made by a couple of dudes that are done like in anime style. If you ever get a look, because like literally these things were only done by like two or three people and they look amazing. So if you ever get a chance, look that up. It's good shit.
Yeah. This will be out September 22nd, so a few months here.
Star Wars is probably one of those franchises that probably. And that probably is very preset to work well with the anime style. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this will be Star Wars' Animatrix.
Yeah. And I'm completely cool with that.
Yeah. You need more variety of people working on Star Wars.
Yeah, and you need to sort of go a long way to maybe modifying some parts of Star Wars, because... Let's be honest, the whole light side versus dark side thing is way too simplistic.
Kind of what they were doing with The Last Jedi, and then they let JJ just shit all over it again.
Yeah. But I think even George Lucas himself has said that the light side, dark side thing to a certain extent is a little too simplistic. Yeah. And a little black and white.
And yeah, I mean, you could like even go back to like the some of the older like extended universe stuff that was about like the point where they went back to the you know the Sith have two people, the master and the apprentice sort of thing, because before that
it's called the rule it's called yeah
that there was the notion of the Jedi and the Sith were just armies fighting against each other. A lot of people weren't force sensitive, but those that were, you know, went to academies to fight
on
one side or the other.
Yeah.
And the Jedi were the only ones that sort of kept the whole, you know, power and numbers kind of thing.
Yeah.
At least until episode 3.
Until episode 3. But, yeah. So, with that out of the way, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. So, with that, I would like to invite all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in our show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any place where our little bit of unscripted weirdness can be found. Basically, any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there yet, don't worry. As soon as we find out about its existence, we will be there. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and my co-host, Chris Elogi. We will be back next week. There will be no Day Zero update this week. Again, we're all going to either be getting drunk, drinking, or recovering from the hangover. So... we will all be clean and sober by the time we talk to you next week. So, with that, I have been your host with most, Brandon Perkins. Good night, sleep tight, and if you haven't gotten your vaccine shot yet, go get it.